The Jerry Doyle Show.
For those of us baby boomers, 79.5 million of us born between 1946 and 1964, you probably remember a commercial for Calgon. Calgon, take me away. And you pour the Calgon in your bath, and you get in the bath, and all your problems leave you. That's what I hope Anita Finley's able to do. I want her to be my Calgon today, because it's been a crazy, crazy, news-intensive, edge-of-the-seat kind of week with the most important election of the last 3 days behind us. And now what we're hearing about with more troops going to Iraq, and it just never seems to end. Tying in with our poll question that's up there for you at epictimes.com. More Americans than ever are saying, I don't, to marriage. Question is why? Can't afford to start a family, it's an outdated tradition, can't find Mr. or Mrs. Right, or because it takes 5 minutes to get into a marriage and a lifetime to get out of it. Leading the pack, 46% say because it's five in and a lifetime out. 28% say because they can't find Mr. or Mrs. Right. Anita Finley is the author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry. I'm going to be your Calgon today.
Do you remember that commercial?
Oh. Yes, of course I do. You know, it's really kind of frightening that I still use that phrase, too.
Do you?
Here I am in Los Angeles, and I know you from a hole in the wall, and I say the same thing.
Does Calgon still exist? Is that still a product that's out there?
That I couldn't tell you. Since I live in a time warp, you know, I'm the kind of person, I figure out how to like a band 10 years after they broke up. So that's my timing on most stuff. So I'm still back in the past century. But, you know, I'm so distressed to hear about these numbers that so many people are staying away from marriage. I think part of it does have to do with the economic realities of today. But, you know, I'm more concerned with, you know, people choosing the right person and finding the right person, or at least attempting to get out there. And how do you make love last past sex and a sandwich?
How do you?
Important. How do you?
Well, I know you're working on a new piece at epictimes.com, but you know, you hear about the honeymoon phase, and then you hear about the 7 year itch, and you know, the things just become boring and tedious and repetitive and predictable, and then you just go, you know what? That looks good, and people seem to bolt rather quickly and predictably to a certain degree.
Well, I have an answer for that. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with why you're getting into a union in the first place. I did a poll of my own, if you will, because certainly I'm not a relationship guru. My husband and I have been together almost 20 years, but I asked a lot of friends, and I just reached out to different people around the country in preparation for this, just because I trust anecdotal evidence. And I talked to people who've been together 10, 20, 30-plus years, and I just said, what works for you? And, you know, the first answer that came from most of them was laughter. And I think it really is about, you know, when you're mourning to somebody because life is difficult, the, you know, the roof is caving in and you got the cat peed on the carpet, or you got to put mom in assisted living, or they downsized the company, or whatever difficulty you're dealing with, you want to be with somebody who's in on the joke with you, and that the two of you are promoting each other, you know, in terms of your mutual support and respect. I think it depends on why people get into something in the first place. If you have some fantasy idea of what somebody is, and, you know, you said something that I find troubling also about, the seven-year itch. If people are so focused on temptation, then they're not focused on the relationship, and maybe, you know, you don't even want to be there in the first place. You have to determine, why are you there? Every single morning when you're with your partner, you roll over in bed, you get up, you have a new opportunity to strengthen the relationship or put another nail in the coffin. And, you know, I had sent over to you an article that Dr. Margaret Paul just wrote in the Huffington Post, and she's a relationship expert and a PhD, and I think she wrote something that I thought was interesting. She said, one of the biggest love killers is controlling behavior. When you are either overtly, you know, using anger, blame, criticism, judgment, whatever, trying to make somebody into your picture frame, or covertly withholding from them. And I think that that's something that a lot of people do. They have an idea of what somebody is supposed to be like instead of just wondering, you know, well, do I like myself as I am, and do I feel comfortable with that person as they are from the beginning? Because when you do, you know, have that sense of humor together and you have a similar sensibility, then you really are in on the joke together, and you want to, you know, you want to navigate the world together. I got something, you got to hear this. This is something I found in the TV Guide. This is the best relationship advice I'd ever read, and I can't believe I found it there years ago. And this is a tough one. Until you are ready to relinquish control in a relationship, you will never attract your equal to you.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, yes, I understand how in these tough economic times, people are desperate for control to a certain degree. And then also in the uncertain job market, people are looking for control, which I think also translates into a certain degree of stability. And they think, well, if I just get this other person hooked up with me, you know, together we'll be able to take on all forces. But you have to have two healthy people, because someone less than zero doesn't start at zero, and the other person's a plus two, but then you think on balance you're going to come out and it's all going to equal out. I think one of the, besides laughter and being willing to giving up control, is that you have to go into it as a healthy individual, not assuming that the other person is going to cure what ails you.
Oh, bingo, absolutely. I mean, I told you that I'd been married once before, a long time ago, and I was surprised when 2 months after we got married, all my problems weren't solved. And it really was a big growing up experience for me to realize that whatever I walked in with, a lot of people think, oh, we're going to buy a house, we'll have a baby, we'll do this, that suddenly that's magically going to cure something. And unfortunately, it really doesn't, because, you know, it's beyond laughter. It's really understanding the person that you're with and asking a lot of questions and finding out if you do have a similar sensibility. But in terms of control, you know, the kind of thing I'm talking about is an emotional control. And I think a lot of that comes, I suspect, too, that to control somebody else and remold someone else into another image, it's because they're perhaps not comfortable with themselves because if you're happy with yourself as you are, why, if you're comfortable in your own skin, why do you have to change somebody else? You're not concerned with how do they like me and how do I look and how does this you know, you're just much more relaxed about being in the relationship and discovering who they are. And I think that, you know, that really is a big part of what makes a relationship work, is that sense of wanting to discover, wanting to promote and support the other person, and that you both are, you know, you have the sense of, we're going to hold hands and jump into the deep end of the pool, damn it, and we're in this together.
I like
it.
What
not necessary. Go ahead.
What about the notion of familiarity breeds contempt? You know, I mean, I hear about...
I don't buy that for a second.
No, come on.
I totally disagree.
I know, Anita, I know couples where he's in the shower and she's on the toilet, or she's in the shower and he's on the toilet, or he's brushing his teeth and she's on the toilet. You would never do that on a first date. You would never do that on your
first date.
I'm talking ever. If you wouldn't do it on the first date, if you wouldn't do it in the first week of the first month of the first year, why does it then become... like, okay, I'm brushing my teeth and you're embarking on your daily constitution. I don't want that.
I think that, no, of course not. But you know what? Then this is something that I was asking my husband. I asked my husband these questions too. Like, what? Why do you stay? What do you get from it? You know, what do you enjoy? And one of the things that he said to me, and I think this goes to the heart of what you're talking about. He said, communication is at the heart of love. If you're not sharing, then what are you doing? And I thought that was brilliant, because, you know, if you have boundaries, if you have something that you like or you don't like, you know what? It's your job and the other person's job to gently sit down and talk about that. And I really don't think that this is ridiculous to say, oh, well, now you're doing your business when I'm in the shower and I don't like that. Well, dear Lord, sit down and have a conversation with the person. Hi, can you work with me on this? You know, right? If that's the thing that's going to drive you apart, then I don't know what's holding this together in the first place. So I think that those are very specific instances that can perhaps be resolved with people being willing to sit down and meet in the middle and have a communication with each other and see, well, how do we want to function? And do we each need our own separate bathroom? Do we need a his and her
yes.
sink?
Is, yes.
Do we need a schedule? You know what? All
yes.
of that is possible, but only if you sit down and communicate with the person because you choose. Here's the other thing that I realized a long time ago, you know, in terms of what your option is every single day. You know, I've seen couples, the same thing you're talking about, they're young, they're in their late 20s, they're newlyweds. Oh, here's the old ball and chain.
Right.
Every time you tease, you razz, you insult in front of other people, oh, I'm just joking, honey. You know what? That's another nail in the coffin of your relationship. You could just as easily, and this applies to men or women, doesn't matter, you know, who it is or sexual preference, the same rules apply throughout. If you're standing there, you have an opportunity to say, here's my better half, or, oh, here's the old blah, blah, blah. Which are you going to choose? One
right.
strengthens your relationship, and one destroys it. And I would suggest also that if you're always looking to razz and destroy and be passive-aggressive, then you're looking to make this not work.
Yeah. I got a buddy, you say the ball and chain. He refers to his, they've been married almost 30 years. And they travel the world. They've got a really cool, a daughter and, she's doing great in school and they got a beautiful home and they, you know, it's just, but he refers to all the time, as the B and C, as the ball and chain. And then whenever it's the holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas, he goes, yeah, he said, I can't wait. The Outlaws are coming into town. And then when they leave, he goes, yeah, the Outlaws left. He says, I got my life back. But they, it's for some, like, there's no absolutes. I mean, I guess if you can take a ribbing and you know that you're the ball and chain, but you also know that you also know that that ball and chain is an anchor. And without him, without you in his life, he'd be nuts.
Well, here, I'll give you a great example. You know, my husband and I have various endearments for each other, but, you know, sometimes my husband calls me Sweet Pea, and otherwise he calls me Clompy.
Clompy?
Well, I'm pretty slim, but, you know, when I'm running up the stairs in the house, I don't exactly
have
a
right
footfall. So he just says, oh, good, Clompy's coming.
Clompy's in.
I get the biggest kick out of it. But I think, you know, your point is well taken. If you have a sense of humor, but I think you know what I'm saying, that sometimes people can, in the name of, oh, I'm just kidding, honey, they're constantly poking a pin
right, yeah.
what your project is or what you're doing. I think that's also, you know, a part of a healthy relationship, that there's the dance you dance alone, and then there's the dance you dance together. And we also, in addition to our shared interests, you know, you got to give the person some room.
Exactly. Especially when they go into the bathroom.
To them and let them breathe, you know?
Yes, exactly. Let the room breathe, too, before I walk in. Anita Finley's with us on the program. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 4 months, number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Previewing her new article for us at epictimes.com on how do you keep the music playing, as the Johnny Mathis song would sing. How about the real quick, the institution of marriage? And I think people are very soured on institutions. They're obviously soured on Congress. They're soured on the president. They're soured on Wall Street. They're soured on big business. And in a lot of ways, I think institutions have been tarnished to a certain degree because so many of them have let us down so many times in so many different ways.
Well, you know, Jerry, I think you made a great point earlier when you said there's no rules at the back of the book. It really doesn't matter what your neighbor is doing. It doesn't matter what marriage looks like to somebody else. And in this day and age when there's so many shifting gender roles and so many shifting roles in so many ways, you know, you as a couple, you're adults. You're paying your own way. You're making your own thing work. Why can't you decide what that means for you? If it works not to get married and have a long-term relationship, you know, I found that actually being married does change the relationship and makes it deeper. That was just my experience. But you know, everybody's free to do as they wish. And I think part of it is understanding that it's not an institution. It doesn't have to be. What it can be for you, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but you know, that it can be a great partnership. But I'm a person, for example, who enjoys navigating the world by twos. And if you have the right partner, you know, that can be tremendous. But I'm also a person who's had the same friends for 20, 35 years. So that's just my nature. I like to, you know, plant my feet and put down roots with people because it's very rare when you find a person of quality. And here's the other thing. It's really important for people to let go of packaging. I mean, when I met my husband, you know, he was a struggling actor and broke and whatever, but I saw in him a person of quality. I didn't need to change somebody. I saw someone who liked who I am exactly as I am. And that, to me, was a gift that keeps on giving. And when you find someone like that, that's something to hang on tight. And did I mention Bill Murray?
No.
I'll close with this. He said that when you meet somebody you think is the one, instead of getting a marriage license, go get a passport, and the two of you should travel around the world as much as you can to places that are very difficult to get into and out of. And when you come back, if you still enjoy being with that person, then go get married at the airport, because you want to be in the trenches with.
So he wants to stress test the relationship right up front.
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's smart. I have something I call the pup tent test. No, not that one. I think that what you need to do is, you take a pup tent and some sandwiches and a deck of cards, drive 2 miles out past where Jesus lost his sandals, and pitch your tent on low ground. Wait for rain. And then with the two of you sitting there with just a deck of cards and your soggy sandwiches, if you can't imagine that's a good time, don't marry the guy.
Wow. That wouldn't work for me. My idea of roughing it is slow room service.
Come on, Jerry. You get what I'm saying.
I get right.
Life is tough, and if you have a partner, then you're the right person.
Exactly. As opposed to...
the wrong one.
Right. As opposed to people who go into it, just find the other person and go, you like water? I love water. You like air? I love air, too. We have so much in common with each other. I like the stress test up front to kind of put it through its paces early on. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Thanks for being my Calgon. By the way, Calgon is still available for sale if you'd like to throw it in your bathwater. Thanks for taking me away. Check out her latest at epictimes.com and her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, amazon.com, and all major book retailers. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jerry. Hopefully I've solved all your problems. You have a great weekend, too.
Oh, we have a long, long, long way to march before we even scratch the surface. Thanks, Anita. We'll talk again. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.